joking about this last hour because, you know, I read all the game notes, the releases from the conferences, all the teams in the SEC, and then the big games each and every weekend. And I was, I'm always amused how the Big 12 trying to rewrite the way we look at the defense that is played in the Big 12. And I saw the one stat as far as looking to this weekend. And, you know, I would have been fine if you had said that, you know, did you know that, you know, the Big 12 has two teams ranked inside the top 30 in scoring defense. I would go, oh, that's pretty cool, right? Baylor doing it, Kansas State's doing it. Instead, their stat was for the first time since 2013, the Big 12 at this juncture of the season has four teams within the top 30 of scoring defense. Well, they had two, and the other two outside the top 30, Oklahoma 31st, Iowa State 36th, which basically tells me nothing, the fact that you still don't play defense in the Big 12.
Well, I mean, that's a fair point. I think a lot of people across the country have the take that you don't play defense in the Big 12, but it's a hard conference to play defense in. And when you're playing those kind of offenses, those high-octane offenses, I mean, look at the SEC. LSU, by all accounts, has a good defense. Florida, by all accounts, has a good defense. But those two teams, last week was kind of a shootout. Week two, when LSU came to Austin, they gave up a ton of points, a ton of yards. Florida has a great defense. Todd Grantham is one of the best defensive coordinators in football. They could not stop LSU. So, yes, the Big 12 defensively has a reputation for being soft, but also when you're going against those spread attacks with the quarterbacks that the Big 12 has, when any time you go against an offense like that, I think you're going to be susceptible to points. So I wouldn't judge the Big 12 too harshly.
Okay. I can see that the Big 12, they've been campaigning with you, and I'll give you that. I will also counter with the fact that 60% of their teams are in the top 25 in scoring offense. So, you know, when over, not half, but more than half of your teams in your conference are in the top 25 in scoring offense, I'm still going back to, is it because the offenses are so great, or is it because the defense needs to continue to get better?
Probably a little bit of both. But, and I know the Big 12 hasn't had the NFL draft success that it would have liked to have had in the last few years. But those are some pretty high octane, pretty stellar offenses, pretty good offensive minds in the Big 12. Mike Gundy doesn't get much love nationally, but Oklahoma State is always at the top, not only in team stats, but individual passing, rushing, receiving. Chuba Hubbard right now leads the nation in rushing. No one can stop him. So, yes, defensively, I think the Big 12, where they're lacking is in recruiting. You look at Oklahoma, and Texas is really the only Big 12 school right now that on the defensive side of the ball is recruiting what it wants. Oklahoma is recruiting right now an average of like 16 nationally, so they don't have the guys that they need. But I also think there's plenty of good offenses, too.
I mean, you're saying Mike Gundy doesn't get a lot of love. I mean, do you realize he's helping to bring back the mullet? I don't know if you saw this, but the young generation, they're actually exploring bringing back the mullet, making it in style there, and full props going to Mike Gundy still rocking it.
I didn't know that the younger people were turning.
Yeah, I saw that. See, I keep up with everything, and I saw that. It's like, yeah, good luck with that.
We had Mike Gundy on our signing day show, I guess a few months ago now, and he was my favorite of all the coaches. We had like 14. He shows up on Skype, drinking a cup of coffee, rocking the mullet. He's like, I was wondering when you guys were going to have me on. So I like him a lot.
Having a chance once again talking college football. We love doing it every Friday, not unless he's on a road trip somewhere. Then we move him to Thursdays. But Trey Scott, once again, national editor, college football coverage with 24/7 Sports. We had a caller earlier talk about the fact that just doesn't see any upsets as far as on the landscape this weekend. And, you know, the funny thing is when we look at the month of October, I had this stat, and I didn't get to it last week, but I brought it out because it's still relevant. And I don't know if I asked you this or not, but there's two teams that's undefeated in the month of October over the last 3 years. And that means 2017, 2018, and so far the first 2 weeks of 2019. Only two Power 5 conference teams that are unblemished. That shows you a lot of upsets, a lot of teams getting beat. You know, by the way, can you name the two teams?
Alabama?
That's one. Yeah. That's the easy answer. And then the second one, maybe not so much. That's a hint.
I know it's not Clemson. No, I don't.
Iowa State.
Coming out west?
Iowa State.
Not.
See, no, but you could go and guess probably, and you would probably throw out 25 or 30 teams before you'd ever even come or think about Iowa State. Yeah, they're 9-0 in the month of October over the last three seasons. Only Alabama at 7-0, the only two teams unblemished in October. I bring that up because that means we get upsets. And do we anticipate some upsets coming on? If I threw out a couple of double-digit underdogs that are potential for me. One, Arizona State, a 14-point underdog on the road to Utah. One thing we've noticed about Arizona State, even in their loss this year, they still lost by field goal. But they're in every game, and they play close games. And so if you're playing close games, that means in the fourth quarter, you have an opportunity to actually win one. So that's one. The other one is a team that's never knocked off this other team, but they're playing them at home. Louisville, a 24-point underdog at home against Clemson. I looked what Louisville was able to do last week, scoring an awful lot of points against Wake Forest. Louisville's never beaten Clemson, and they've only been playing since part of the ACC. So I don't know. Stranger things have happened. What about you? If you had to throw one or two teams out there that could be considered major upsets in the top 25, who would you go with?
Well, first of all, of those two games you suggested, I would probably lean with Arizona State having a better shot. I love their quarterback, Jaden Daniels. Of all the great true freshman quarterbacks, I think he's the best one. I don't think Louisville, though, is going to be able to knock off Clemson. I think if you're going to get the Tigers, it would have been the week that North Carolina took them to the brink. They seem like they woke up against Florida State. Mine, if I had to choose, I think I would go Florida, which is a 5.5-point favorite at South Carolina. I know both teams are coming off a really emotional week. South Carolina is riding high. Florida's flying kind of low, but I was impressed with how the Gators sort of held up in Baton Rouge. But they're going to be without Jonathan Grenard, the great defensive end. They're already still without Jabari Zuniga, defensive lineman, too. And I think South Carolina is going to get Ryan Helinski back. Plus, with the weather trending toward the East Coast, I think this game might be played in a monsoon. So whoever runs the ball best can win. Kind of a toss-up home. I'm going South Carolina as far as you're asking me to pick a big upset this week.
I see it. All right, how about Michigan? They're a 9-point underdog to Penn State. We're going to start seeing over the next few weeks just where Penn State ranks as far as these teams that are potential teams that could be playing in the college football playoff. First assignment coming up as far as this week is concerned, you've got Penn State at home hosting 16th-ranked Michigan. Michigan, a 9-point underdog. Can they find a way to make this close and go either way in the fourth quarter?
No. It's a wideout, and you've got two really good defenses. But Penn State's offense is top 30 nationally in yards per play. Michigan's is like in the lower half, and it's obviously, we've all watched Michigan enough this year to know they're pretty bad on that side of the ball.
So Penn State would fit nicely into the Big 12. Is that what you're saying?
So maybe this is like a 16-7 sort of game, just like Penn State Iowa was last week. I don't see how Michigan could do it. Just do not see that happening against Penn State's defense.
I love throwing out teams that we don't talk about on a national level very much or local level or whatever, but it's still a fun story. How about what Minnesota is doing? They finally get ranked. They're the last team that was unbeaten as far as the Power 5 conference teams, finally getting ranked. They're ranked 20th in this week's AP Top 25 poll. I bring it up because they've won 8 straight games, which ties a school record that goes all the way back. You have to go back to 1948-49, the last time Minnesota was able to get 8 straight. And that's what this year's team has been able to match. And, oh, by the way, heavy favorites by 4 touchdowns on the road to Rutgers this weekend.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of their coach, PJ Fleck. And I know it's taking a little bit of time. I think the schedule shapes up for them to be 8-0, which would be top 15 range, which is awesome. Minnesota can run the ball so well. I mean, if you watch I watched a little of Nebraska Minnesota last week, 35-7. Minnesota was doing whatever it wanted. And then it's outside passing weapons, Tyler Johnson, Rashad Bateman, two of the best receivers in the country. So, maybe Wisconsin has a Big Ten West challenger in Minnesota lying ahead.
Yeah, you're right. Minnesota gets Maryland next week, but the last three of the four, check this out, in the month of November for Minnesota, home against Penn State, at Iowa, at Northwestern, and then wrapping up in a game that may decide who plays in the Big Ten title game as they play host to Wisconsin.
Yeah, we'll find out what they're made of, I guess, in 2 weeks then. But 8-0 is going to be a great start for Minnesota.
Other games that are on your landscape as far as this weekend that may be under the radar or maybe needs more emphasis that's not getting right now?
Ooh, well, Oregon-Washington, surprised you haven't asked me about that one yet. And I know Washington already has the two losses, but this is a battle of two really good quarterbacks, depending on the day. And maybe if it's a bad day for both of them, they can be a little bit shaky, Justin Herbert and Jacob Eason. This is what we thought would be a preseason Pac-12 North sort of duel, although I'm not sure really if Washington's going to have the horses to keep up in that race all the way through the season. But it's in Seattle. I think Oregon wins, but I think maybe for one of the few times all season, we can spend 1 week sort of looking out west at this game as a big one, because you already did mention Arizona State, Utah as well. So maybe this is a good week for the Pac-12, although I have to say Arizona State, Utah being on the Pac-12 network, which no one gets, kind of feels illegal.
Well, I don't get the Big Ten network, so that means I'm not watching Ohio State tonight at home either. So, and by the way, you're probably thinking he probably didn't do his Oregon homework this week. This is why I didn't talk about it. How about throwing this nice little stat out there? After allowing 27 points to Auburn in week one, Oregon, over the last five games, they've only allowed 25 total points. The other part about this is only happened once in Pac-12 history since the mid-60s, and that was USC back in 2008. So after giving up 27 points to the Tigers in that loss, over the last five games, we're talking about only allowing 5 points per game, 25, five straight games with single digits. They haven't done that since 1958. So there you go.
They've got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. I don't buy them still, though, as a playoff contender. I know people can say, well, they lost to Auburn week one. Maybe they can run the table in the Pac-12. I think there are going to be too many good teams at the end of the day, but I think Oregon certainly is deserving as far as a top 10 team discussion.
Hey, by the way, I saw this stat, and I don't really know how to – I mean, it's a nice stat, and the first thing that came to mind for me, I looked at Alabama losing to LSU in overtime 9-6 back in 2011 during the regular season before beating them again in the rematch for the national title. The fact that Arizona State, they've scored in double digits – they've done it now in 125 straight games, the most in FBS history. They're tied with Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech did it from 2008 to last year before they had the record stopped. But 125 straight games with double digits, they have a chance to have the record all to themselves as they take on Utah tomorrow. What does that stat mean to you? I'm still trying to grasp that, totally. I mean, you always see the stat about last time a team has been shut out. By scoring in double digits, does that mean something for you?
Maybe. You span a few coaches with that stat, so I'm not sure what it means program-wise. Maybe schedule-wise, they haven't faced too many defensive juggernauts. That is an interesting stat, though. I'm glad you brought that to my attention. I hadn't heard that one.
I try to throw out some unusual ones. All right, so Tennessee tomorrow, they beat Mississippi State. Mississippi State, a 6.5-point favorite last week, went into Knoxville and lost to the Vols. And now the Vols, for the first time, a night game in Tuscaloosa. They've been waiting to show their version of what Georgia brought out earlier this year in their game against Notre Dame. So they get to display the lights, the bells, the whistles, Dixieland Delight, and more. I go back to the fact that over this span with 12 straight losses to Alabama, there have been two close calls, and the interesting part since 2009, both times has happened in Tuscaloosa. 2009, an Alabama team ranked number one had to block a field goal to prevail 12-10, and then we go back to 2015. Alabama already had lost earlier in the season, ranked number eight, and here was a 19-14 game where the game was still very much on the line there when Josh Dobbs with QB with the Vols. So the fact that both close calls occurred in Tuscaloosa, could it be a third time's a charm for Tennessee on Saturday night?
No, that's a nice runway for you to give them, but no, I don't see it. Tennessee got the win they weren't supposed to get. They got it last week. Congratulations. Alabama won't have Devontae Smith for a half. It will not matter. I think Tua probably has a 4-5 touchdown game. I think they win big, enjoy the night game vibe, kind of put on a show. I think Tennessee is still far, far, like, years away from competing with Alabama.
Yeah, you wonder about DeVonta Smith. I mean, because you look through the first six games, the midway point, I mean, he would certainly be what we would consider an All-American, probably first team. And this is with a Jerry Jeudy on the roster who was the Fred Biletnikoff Award winner last year. But you wonder if this opens up the door for Jerry Jeudy to maybe gain some ground.
Hey there. Yeah. Sorry, I think I lost you for a second. Jerry Jeudy has probably had a quieter season than he anticipated. It won't matter for his NFL draft stock. I was pleased to see Jalen Waddle get his first touchdown last week. But, yeah, maybe this is a Jeudy week. It seems like Ruggs and Smith and Jeudy have sort of alternated. Jeudy had week one, so maybe week eight is going to be his.
So, but back to, before we let you go, top 10, if there's an upset, you're going with Florida losing at South Carolina.
That's the only one I can see.
I'm gonna. If there is one, I'm gonna say Penn State loses to Michigan. I'm not a fan of Michigan and Jim Harbaugh, but the fact that Penn State, all the pressure, the fact that under James Franklin, he never has had a road win on the road against a ranked team until last week when they knocked off Iowa, and so maybe the fact that you got these back-to-back games like that. Maybe that opens up the door for Michigan. I mean, Michigan, talent-wise, they have the ability to pull off this upset. And the fact that they're 9-point underdogs, it would be considered an upset. And, and what a way to make all the disappointed Penn State fans wearing white have to go home. That'd be very disappointing for them.
Well, we'll put it on the books, and we'll see how we do next week.